covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Okay, that wasn't very fun. 3-0, Brewers fall to the Angels. No sweep, still a series win. It's a 3-3 West Coast road trip. And quite frankly, the easier of the two West Coast road trips you have coming up in this month of August. We'll talk about that. The Miz was the only bright spot today. The offense obviously shut out. It's been an alarming trend as of late for the Brewers offense. And the irony is not lost on me that the Twitter mob has been asking for Christian Yelich to be benched. And well, he was benched today and the Brewers got shut out because you know what? Baseball is very fickle and it's just a hard game to play, man. And today was a day that the Angels threw every single one of their best arms at the Brewers. They shut them down. The Brewers didn't do themselves any favors either. And Miz made one mistake. And we can talk about the cutter. We can talk about everything else. But nonetheless, the Brewers' offense is obviously the reason they lost this game today, 3-0. But with Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. To get the positives out of the way, because this is going to be a negative-heavy show, given the energy surrounding this team right now, Augie, especially after yesterday's trade deadline news with Tarek Skubal. Look, Miz, we're taking it for granted still, right? I don't care what the other team's record is, that they're the worst team in the American League. He rolled out 7 innings, just 2 hits, 2 runs on the 2-run homer, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, just 1 3-ball count. I mean, with what he called the worst mound he's ever pitched on, it was a day that it was just like, yeah, the best pitcher in baseball. He is so clearly the Cy Young that he goes 7 innings, and allows only 2 earned runs, Augie. His ERA actually went up by 0.05 of a run. He went up from 1.58 to 1.63. The standard is so high for this kid, and we're all complaining about one pitch where we're expecting perfection every single time. He pretty much delivered perfection today and gets saddled with a tough luck loss.
Yeah, he was excellent today. He had both hits in the same inning. He retired 16 in a row after the home run. Just got a ball up over the plate, and Meckler was able to put this good swing on it, but you know he was so good today. All his pitches, his fastball, his secondary pitches, throwing consistently for strikes. Out of the 83 pitches, just 17 balls. When you look at a guy that performs at that kind of rate, with the velocity that he does, with the command of the secondary pitches that he does, throwing 17 balls all day long in 7 complete innings, striking out 10, walking just to 1 late in the game. I tell you what, he was dynamic today, very efficient, commanded the strike zone, used all his pitches. I tell you what, you couldn't ask much more of Miz way he threw the ball today.
You know, with the thing I look at with Miz, it always starts with the four-seamer. Today we saw the slider take center stage as opposed to the curveball when it comes to the secondary pitch of choice. He threw that a little bit more often than usual today. He got 4 swings and misses on that pitch, 17 total in the game. What I see from Miz, too, is that he's developed, you know, a full repertoire. We've talked about this multiple times where he's a pitcher. The fastball, he can locate it wherever he wants. Now he's learning how to use the slider to expand, right? The curve is the vertical one, but the slider can be landed for a strike on the outside corner to righties. Or we saw him do this a few times today, get them to chase off the corner with it. He had a really good chase rate with his slider today, despite not throwing many strikeouts with it. He only got 1 strikeout on the slider, but he was using it earlier in counts. And I think the debate between the slider and the cutter, when I see that slider, I don't mind throwing that slider. Yeah, it's 91. It's kind of got sweeping tendencies. But Augie, I mean, when you can get the slider four-seamer combo going, the curveball gets even better. You don't even need the cutter. The cutter today was just a show-me pitch, but the reason why I bring up the cutter is the home run given up to Meckler. It wasn't that bad of a pitch. It just is the fact that it's another homer given up on the cutter, so people are overreacting to it. But when you see that first inning, Augie, I'm William Contreras. I'm like, they can't touch his heater. Let me keep calling it. And then he called something else, and he got punished for it, and it turned out to be the difference of the game.
Yeah, it really did. And you know, the one thing that about Miz and what we're learning about Miz is, you know, he's still in that educational part, finding out, you know, how good can he be? He's still getting better. That upside is so much. He's got that good fastball. He knows he can command the fastball, throwing it to good locations. Today it was a little bit of a slider. I'll tell you what, I think he works with pitches, trying to figure out exactly where in his repertoire that all these pitches are going to come in handy. Is it going to be the slider at time? Is it going to be the curveball? Is it going to be the slider or the cutter or whatever? And I tell you, his ability to throw strikes with all the pitches and use them effectively, I think is really the thing we want to see out of him, and is that educational part. Today he was able to use that slider and throw it off the outside part of plate. It was devastating. You can't pick it up. You have to make a quick judgment on where that pitch is. He was commanding it. He used his secondary pitches excellent today. That's an education. I think with Miz, he's still in that educational part where he's going to grow and get better and better and better as he gets along. I thought today his efficiency, I don't think in baseball you can be more efficient than he was today. Going into the seventh inning, he had 66 pitches. He was really throwing the ball well. So, you know, that's that education part. He understands it. He's out there. He goes out to win. And he's a guy that wants to be the best. And you can tell it, educational-wise, learning all his pitches, how he's going to use them, each and every game he goes out there is going to be kind of a neat thing to see how he uses it and how he builds himself up towards the end of the season.
So today was his fifth loss of the year officially tallied to his record, and his first one in a month since he had that one against Cincinnati in the first half where he gave up five runs, only one of them earned. So let me read you the earned runs allowed in each of these five losses in order here, Augie. And mind you, he completed at least five innings in all of these starts. 3-1-2-1-2. I mean, Miz is doing his job. Miz is Cy Young. Miz probably has 10 more starts this season. And I think the most important stat from today's game is the first pitch strike stat. Today, this is what was super impressive. 24 batters faced, 20 of them got a first pitch strike. Some of that is an aggressive Angels team swinging at the first pitch. But 16 out of 18 fastballs were a first pitch strike. That is super impressive. Even with a crappy mound underneath him, even on a hot summer day in Southern California, he was still sitting 99 miles an hour. Super, super impressive stuff from Miz.
Yeah, it was so neat to see him. He gets so dialed in even after he gave up the two-run homer. You could see him starting to take that step back, understanding what he had to do, had to turn it up a notch. He really did. He threw the ball well in the first two innings, don't get me wrong. But after that, he just got so dialed in, used this breaking ball when he needed to on the outside part of play, got a lot of swings outside the strike zone. I think today, when you look at what Miz does, he gets a lot of strikes with his fastball because it explodes and he'll be out of strike zone. But getting a lot of strikes out of that breaking ball on the outside part of the plate that he threw to right-handers was very efficient today. These are the things he's doing each time he goes out where he gets confidence. There's going to be a game or so where you go up, you don't feel confident in a pitch. Well, now he's got three quality pitches that are his secondary pitches that he can use effectively in the game, and that's really neat to see.
When Miz wins, when Miz pitches, it's generally win day. Today it was not, and that's because of the offense. We got to talk about the offense. Obviously, they get shut out today. Man, it's been going like this for a little too long now. Now it's a little uncomfortable. You got less than 24 hours until the trade deadline. What can be done right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today 3-0. It's a 3-3 road trip against San Francisco and the Angels. They come back home for 4 with the Pirates, 3 with the Twins, and then back on the road for 3 with the Padres and 4 with the Dodgers. You'll probably see Scooble during that stretch in LA. And then you finally get your next off day before you come back home for the Seattle Mariners. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. The offense in a weird funk. Only 5 hits today, none of them for extra bases. The Brewers are a team that, this was a good text and a good thought. The Brewers last year were the Woodpeckers. Get them on, get them over. But it feels like lately they've been swinging for the fences. And I think that the way the Brewers get their best work is when they feel that relentless energy that Pat Murphy talks about, being relentless and being the, you know, just being that team that is a thorn in everybody's side today. the Brewers still drew five walks today. Like, they still had 10 base runners at some point in the contest. That can overcome 11 strikeouts in the game, but with no extra base hits, a couple of mistakes on the base pass with David Hamilton getting caught stealing. I wouldn't call that a mistake, but Bowers getting picked off was a mistake. D.L. Hall not failing to keep the game 2-0 in the ninth didn't help either. Bases loaded and two outs, failing to come through in the second, and then Mitchell's opportunity in the sixth inning as well. On a scale of 1 to 10, Augie, where's your level of concern? If 10 is like, oh my God, DEFCON 1, like, freak out, or 1 is like, they'll be fine. Where are you on a 1 to 10 right now with the offense?
Well, I'm kind of like in the middle right now, because they are still a capability of playing a full nine innings. They're going to keep coming at you all 27 outs. They're going to play hard. They're going to still late in the ball games and come back and score some runs. And they're able to get guys on base. It just seems that they go sometimes get in a rut with a guy who commands a strike zone, who uses off-speed stuff really well. The guy who keeps them off, stays ahead of them, doesn't get behind, and uses his off-speed stuff. It seems like they've had trouble with those style guys. Today with Urena, was able to use his off-speed stuff very, very well. That changeup was magnificent, how he used it against the Brewer Ball Club. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, if they do anything. But I think this is a ball club that has to continue being patient. They're going to go through ruts where they're not going to swing the bat very well. But I think over a long haul, I think this ball club is still going to be a type of ball team that goes out, scores a lot of runs, is able to be hit the ball. It's not about home run. It's about manufacturing runs. This is that style of ball club, and every once in a while you chip in with the home run. And I think that's getting guys on base, and when they get guys on base, taking advantage of it. And that's one thing this ball club has done. But lately, it's been a little up and down where they haven't been able to come up with the big hits.
I think for me, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm putting it like a 6.5, because the reason why it's not very high is that there's enough of a season and a track record to believe that, okay, Churio's in a slump, he'll be fine. Terang has been very good all season long, he'll be fine. Today, he just had one hit. That's not something to complain about. Vaughn is still getting through the speed bump. Bowers has been great. But then the reason why it's closer to 7 or even 7 or 8 is that Contreras, dude, what is going on? I mean, it's a 270 batting average, and the old school baseball fans say, oh, hey, that's pretty solid from your catcher. Well, his slugging is still under 400. His slugging is currently worse than it was last year when the Brewers repeatedly told us he was playing through a broken finger. They haven't told us he's playing through a broken finger this year. And I'm concerned. I'm truly concerned that he's only got 10 homers, that the plate discipline has been in and out. I mean, he bounced into a double play on a 3-1 pitch. He popped out on the 2-0 pitch. He's stuck in between. Again, like, if this is your cleanup hitter, and again, today, Yelly wasn't even in the lineup. So people who wanted to complain about Yelly all weekend long can't say anything today. So it kind of gets directed to William. It becomes like, hey, after everything with the arbitration case and everything, and, you know, hey, if you're top five and MVP, well, that's all out the window right now, man. William knows he's better than this. The Brewers know he's better than this. They're trying to find a way to kick him into gear, because the way that this lineup goes, like you're talking about the occasional home run and the woodpecker mentality, well, today we saw them play with the lineup. Yelly is out of it. Mitchell is hitting third, but still had Contreras hitting cleanup, because the Brewers like to do that alternating right-left thing. I'm sitting here, I'm going, the pillars haven't been pillars. I've said that a couple of times now, and that's where I remind everybody, there isn't a lot of offense available at this deadline that fits the Brewers. We just saw Luis Garcia Jr. go from the Nationals to the Yankees, indicating Washington's open for business, but C.J. Abrams is going to take an even bigger deal than what Tarek Skubal took from the Dodgers, right? And I don't think they're going to make him available. And then furthermore, I just look around, Augie, at the landscape. The guys that are in this lineup are exactly the guys that I want to have in this lineup, and the only way out is really through.
I agree. It's so hard, because when you look at this, the team all year, when you look at the Terang, Churio, Yelly, Contreras situation at the top of the order, you think that that's where you want to be. Those are the guys that you need up there. And then you got Bowers, who's having a career year, And it's good to see that they're getting Vaughn some good at-bats. I think that's really important, where he's a guy who gets lefties at the beginning of the year and through the year has been swinging the bat very well. But giving him more at-bats, getting him in games, because he was such a big part of the ball club last year with the home runs and RBIs and what he did. And then you look at with the other guys with Laura Pratt and Hamilton. Those guys are really doing a good job. I mean, you look at what they do. You couldn't ask for much more out of like young players. But I really agree with you. I think this all borders on Terang and Cheerio, Contreras and Yelly all being able to step up at the top of that order and filling it in with Bowers and Vaughn. I think that is so important. And right now you're not getting that continuity you need out of that beginning of the lineup. And when you don't get that and you get pitched. But I think sometimes they get guys who pitch ahead and throw off-speed stuff at times can really get them a little bit off kilter with where they're going. This is a team that needs to get walks. This is a team that needs to each at-bat, they have to make it a good at-bat. You have to get guys on base. When they do that, they score runs, and sometimes they don't. They're a little over-aggressive, and they go out there, and they don't swing the bat the way they should. They don't get the runners on base, and when they don't get the runners on base, they don't score runs.
Yeah, I think the Brewers' best offense, best version, is still ahead of them. I really think they haven't peaked offensively. Maybe like that last week of May into the first week of June was maybe their best bit of offense so far this year. But I still see areas that they can improve and be just fine. And I think that the way that the Brewers understand, they're in this weird luxury and they're in this weird twilight zone here, Augie, where, let's be honest, let's go ahead and talk about the elephant over there. The Brewers are going to the playoffs, okay? If you think I'm jinxing, I'm not. I mean, they have the second best record in baseball, depending on what happens with the Dodgers tonight. They have 69 wins. They're going to the playoffs, okay? Will they have a bye? TBD. But the thing that I think that the Brewers are kind of going through right now, I said it yesterday, it's the early dog days where August is going to be a slog. You're in the middle of 17 in a row. Fatigue is certainly a factor in this. And I don't want to just sit here and say, oh, hit homers. But Augie, you've played it. You understand it where, hey, when you're on a really good team and granted, you know, your 82 team, it got stressful at the end. I hope this team doesn't get stressful. But the way that it gets in August and September, it's like, okay, you know, maybe inadvertently take your foot off the gas a little bit. And right now they got to find a way to put it back on.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it right before the All-Star break and some of our times in extra innings, how tough it is that when you get into the end of July and August, and it's going to be a time when this ball club is not going to, there's going to be some ups and downs. You're going to have it's kind of like a trend for most teams in baseball. When you go up and down, it's not an even flow, and sometimes you have some struggles. And I think that's no different from the Milwaukee Brewers and what's going on. I think the one thing you're seeing what Murph is trying to do here, you're going to see some lineups coming now. We're in the first part of August. In the next 15 out of the 17 game stretch they have here, you're going to see a lot of different lineups. You can see them resting guys. You're going to have to see them like the Ed Mitchell in that third slot today and Bowers in the fourth slot. You're going to see guys moving around a little bit and trying some things to see where they feel most comfortable. And I think that's just part of baseball. I think that happens. It happens every year that you do play, that very seldom do you see a team that in the month of August just goes off. And those teams that goes off in the month of August usually win their division. So it's going to be interesting to see how this club, Murph, with the team's way it's playing. I think you just said it. Right now, they're tied for the best record in all of baseball, is being able to make adjustments and see where he can get this team most comfortable. And he's got that opportunity to do it. I think this is something he's going to work on. I think he's going to do some changes. He's going to give guys rest. And I think you're going to see a lot of different things happening to see where you get into the September, when it starts to heat up again, that you're playing good, solid baseball.
Yeah. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, as the Brewers fall today by a 3-0 score. Living in Wisconsin means your heating and cooling systems work overtime, so give them the care they deserve with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical's elite comfort maintenance plan. Get repair discounts, priority customer service, and more. Visit Cider.com to inquire today. We'll get to a break. Brian and Tosa, I see you on the line. I'll get you on the other side of the break right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
see a couple of names thrown out in the chat line and in the text line, 855-616-1620. To this text from Mark talking about why you always talking up Miz, because he's the best damn pitcher in baseball. Go look at his baseball reference, bud, before you say what you said. I'm not even going to repeat what you texted, Mark. Worst text of the year by far. And if you want to double down, call in, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Before we keep on moving, let's hear from the phone lines. Let's hear from Brian and Tosa. Brian, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Thanks for taking my call, Dom. I know it's been a while. Hey, I'm not pushing the panic button, but some disturbing trends that emerge every time with us is all of a sudden runners in scoring position is a struggle. We were, what, top two through May? I think we're down, we're seven. We may be 10th, which is still acceptable, but against these lesser teams that we just played, we could have probably gotten a couple more games, which we should have, because now we're going to hit a really tough stretch and the long, you know, no day off and some quality teams. But left-handed pitching is starting to stymie us again a little bit. Our right-handers are, some are doing well, but some aren't. And even the middle relief for a little bit there was kind of running on fumes because our starters weren't going more than five innings. Now they're getting better. I'd like to see him make some kind of deal. Offense I know is lacking. Would be nice to counter a little bit with a pitcher, maybe that Soriano or Mize or something, but no panic, but there's just some concerning trends that hopefully they can get past them and get back on track, and we'll go deep run in October. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Brian. And Augie, I think as the trade deadline approaches, for me, and I said this on the pregame show earlier today, you know, the first aisle I'm going down is a lefty leverage reliever. And look, the Brewers are not the only team in that aisle right now. But D.L. Hall is a great dude. You can't walk the first batter and then have a wild pitch and he eventually comes around to score on an infield hit, right? You need to give some slack to Aaron Ashby, who got the weekend off because of these results. And he needed a little reset right now. They need help from the left side in that bullpen. That's the first place I'm going to.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when you look at last year's team and you look at one of the keys to last year, and I said that from the beginning of last year on, was Jerry Koenig. He came in the game. He was that leverage guy. He was the guy that was a little bit different than when you see coming out there. He's the guy that's going to pitch that eighth inning or come and get a guy out, make the left-handers hitters put him at end with being able to go in the game and get through an inning, be that leverage guy that they have, and they don't have him right now. And that's, you know, you're asking Aaron Ashby to do a lot, and D.L. Hall, as we saw him today, they need someone from that left side to go out there with Uribe and be able to set the tone so that when they set up and then you got your closer coming in and you're going to be all set. But that main guy, that middle guy, that guy that comes in along with Uribe is so important. And, you know, you use Ashby and Patrick and these other guys in that certain part under that seventh inning, going into that eighth inning. You need that guy in that eighth inning, that left-handed guy to come in and really kind of slam the door for you a little bit. And that's one thing they're missing, especially now that they don't have Jerry Koenig.
Yeah, and not only Koenig, but Angel Zerpa, right? This was the role
that's right
for both of those guys. Both of them being out, you know, Koenig for health slash ineffectiveness and Zerpa being out with Tommy John surgery. I mean, remember in spring training, we were talking about, oh my God, they have so many lefties. What are they going to do with them? And now all of a sudden, you've only got Ashby and Hall, right? And now in the bullpen in the postseason, I'd expect to see Shane Drouin get moved back to the bullpen too, because I think the three they're rolling with right now would be Miz, Harrison, and Henderson. And then Drouin maybe gets that spot fourth start if you need it in a CS game or in game four of a DS and it's shortened or whatever. And Drouin is somebody that needs to be starting right now, and the Brewers have a decision to make when Harrison comes back. Are they going to put Drouin in the bullpen, or are they going to go to a six-man rotation? Are they going to option somebody? That's a conversation for Wednesday's game. But on the trade deadline front, somebody brought up George Springer, and like, I get the names. I know we're enamored with the names of these players. The reality is, where is he going to play? Are you platooning him with Christian Yelich for expensive DHs for the rest of the year? I don't see the Brewers doing that. I also don't see the Brewers getting Luis Arraez. I don't see the Brewers getting Willy Castro, because they've got one of the best second basemen in the game in Bryce Terang. And quite frankly, they want to give Cooper Pratt experience at shortstop. They love him defensively. They love Joey defensively over there. So I just feel like there's no bona fide, no doubt, that's the hitter you got to get on this year's market, which is why I think offensively, I'm just anticipating it. I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. Offensively, this deadline is going to be a dud. And now that we're past Skubal, and now that we're past Freddie, and I don't think the Brewers are ever going to get Freddie Augie, I think after a lefty reliever, I'm looking at one more solid starter. You're not going to get a one, obviously, with Skubal off the board. Maybe you get Mize. Maybe you get somebody with an extra year control, like a Reed Detmers, like a Jose Soriano, like a Sandy Alcantara. There are debates to be had right now in these last 23 hours or so.
Well, the one thing that the Brewers always try to do, and, you know, the one thing that they'll all try is any way that they can improve the ball club, they're going to try to improve the ball club. I think that's one thing Matt Arnold's very keen at. He makes some really shrewd moves. I think if we talked about, when we talked about it earlier, before about several weeks from the deadline, we're talking about maybe a relief pitcher, and we talked about the left side, and we maybe talked about a starter, a veteran starter who can give you innings, that has that knowledge, who can good in the clubhouse, can get these younger pitchers, keep them right, and really get out and be able to give the Brewers a couple good starts from the veterans side of view. And it's great to have a veteran, especially when you get to the playoffs. They're so good to have in the clubhouse and what you want to do and what you want to be able to have. But a right-handed bat would be something. If they could find someone, either an outfielder guy, maybe a good versatile, that could come out swing the bat a little bit from the right side, I think this is something that they would really like to get.
Yeah, and Lane Thomas, he's off the board. He goes to the Braves today, right? So there's another one of the only right-handed bats available at the deadline. He's gone too. So going to have to work some magic here down the stretch with Matt Arnold in just a few hours remaining till the trade deadline. Well, Augie, appreciate you as always. We will talk to you tomorrow trying to figure out these dang Pittsburgh Pirates here coming up this week.
Boy, they're struggling right now. It's good to see that they've been struggling. I think they lost 3 out of 4 to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been playing a little bit better baseball, but the Pirates have given us a little bit of a battle this year, and it's going to be interesting in this 4-game series. So good time to start. Hopefully Sprouls can go out, get back on track a little bit, and give us a good outing, and we can get off to a good start at home.
And then Kyle Harrison is set to return on Wednesday. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, joining us. Thanks, Augie.
Great to be with you.
All right. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Get to some chats and some questions. It's going to be a shorter show here today as the Brewers fall 3-0 because, well, there's no highlights to play. Miz got struck out 10. That's the whole highlight of the day. We'll talk a little bit more about these trade deadline proposals and what it means for the Brewers moving forward on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today 3-0. A lot of stuff about the Skubal reaction today. We'll find out more tomorrow once the deadline passes, and we'll talk to Matt Arnold, I'm sure. Get a reaction from him once the deadline passes, and we'll get definitively on what the reaction is about the package, right? Did the Brewers get a chance to one-up that package the Dodgers offered, and ultimately their offer was accepted by the Tigers, something we may or may not ever know. But the other thing that, again, I remind folks is that the Dodgers don't care what you think. The Dodgers are always going to swim in the deep end of the pool because they're the shark. They're the killer whale, okay? They're not a great white. They're a killer whale. They do not care. They're here to mess things up. And the Dodgers, they've earned that. They've won back-to-back World Series. I thought Pat Murphy's quote yesterday was great, saying, it's not my job to worry about the Dodgers. It's my job to worry about my team. They got a good team over there to try to make their team better. That's all you really have to say. Even Miz today wasn't entertaining a thought in the slightest. Look, the way I see the Brewers and what these final 24 hours do, they're going to get a couple of pieces that I think can help their bullpen, maybe one that can help their starting staff. But this offense is going to look around in the room and say, all right, it's us. And I'm not saying Sal Frelick is a game changer, but Sal Frelick is a piece that's coming back. Maybe, just maybe, and I'd be absolutely floored if somebody from that epically talented AA team comes up to the show at the end of the year. I'd be floored. But the numbers don't lie, right? Fisher, Burke, Madej, I don't think Madej would be up. But Fisher or Burke, given they were college bats, I'd be shocked. But why not? What do you have to lose, sort of thing? I don't think the Brewers are going to do that. I want to make that very, very clear. I don't think the Brewers are going to do that. But it'd be some seriously fun content. I think the Brewers understand that while Scooble would have been nice, and I wanted Scooble, I think at the end of the day, what they need to make sure they do is to continue to push wind into the sails. Find a way to keep these guys fresh. They are searching on the backup catcher market right now. They are searching even in the starting roles and the reliever roles and what they can do to surprise you. Foster Griffin, I think, is a great fit. So is the starter for the Mets, Clay Holmes, while he's currently injured right now. A lot can change in 24 hours. Let's give them a chance to get things right. Let's give our player of the game out real quick. No surprise, it's Miz. 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. He set a new Brewers franchise record today with most 10-plus strikeout games in a single season with his 10th today. Pretty darn good. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll hear from Murph coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings as they fall 3-0 today to the Angels. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. We're going to hear from Murph in just a moment. Win or lose, Murph gives it to you straight. Around here, that's something old-fashioned roofing believes into. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built, where a handshake still matters. The Pat Murphy press conference is presented by old-fashioned roofing. Short and sweet today from Murph, talking about the Miz and his offense.
Murph has had some those couple of cutters on. It looked like that was kind of dialed again for Mizeroff. What did you think of
it? It was great. You know, 7 innings, I don't know what. But, I mean, he'd like to have those 2 pitches back, obviously. The one was an 0-2 pitch that he just left over the middle and wasn't intended to be there. The call was fine, I guess, but it's got to be off the plate after you blow away with 2 hitters. And then the second doubled up cutter is all the only pitches Meckler saw on his first at bat. I don't agree with that. But again, it wasn't executed. But yeah, other than that, he was magnificent. I don't know where he retired, like 19 in a row after that. He hit 18, punched out over 10. He was great. Didn't have his best stuff. The mound was a little slick for him. Yeah, he was great. But the credit goes to their guys because their guys were great today. That young kid threw the heck out of the ball. He threw his changeup when he needed to. Very, very good. All the relievers were good. And we didn't take advantage. We made a couple base running errors. That's not us. We did make some great plays defensively. Didn't get a time to hit. We had 5 or 6 falls over 95 that were caught. Something like that happens.
Did you have an issue with the mound? I mean, you said it was a little slick to death.
Yeah,
I mean,
when you struck the mound, it was slick. Yeah.
Didn't it impact him at all? Because I think afterward is when you kind of settled down and left and retired the season.
Yeah, I think it affected him. But you call attention to it right when it affects you. It's a good learning experience for him.
This is what it looked like when he doesn't have his best stuff. What does it look like when he does?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I mean, he dominated today. Yeah. I mean, he pitched well enough to win.
Murph, the cutter, he's gotten hurt on some cutters this year. Are you okay with him and William continuing to try to hone that?
It's a good pitch. It's just when you call it and how he controls it.
Yeah, I mean, you can second guess any pitch call, right? I think that the slider is just physically a better pitch than his cutter. That's how I feel. And Murph says, hey, if he executes that pitch, and reminder, the cutter is what made Willy Castro look silly last year when he fell to his knees after he swung and missed, right? When you execute a cutter, it's a great pitch. When you don't execute it, it's a cement mixer at 96 and right in these guys' nitro zone. You know, you can hang a slider. You can hang a curveball. I totally get that. So execute, maybe it's a different story. And Miz says he hit a spot. He says he hit a spot. All right, shake it off, move on. Miz pitched well enough to win this game. The offense did not. And this was a quote courtesy of Garrett Mitchell and Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just another Miz day, right? He gave us every chance and every opportunity to put runs on the board, and he kept us in the game. It sucks when your pitcher goes out and puts his bleep on the line and throws like that and you can't get him any runs. So I promise, they know. They're feeling it too. They want to succeed for their ace just as bad as you want them to. The Brewers are in a spot where their offense is in between. The guys that were hot in June and July have cooled off. The guys that they're relying on have been cold for a little while longer. Sooner as opposed to later, but you've still got 51 games to get it back in the right direction. Okay? That is still a lot. That's a third of your baseball season. All right? You have still got time to figure things out. At the same time, that urgency meter is cranked a little bit more than you'd like. So urgency with pressure and the trade deadline, divided attention, as Pat Murphy says, it's time to lock it in. Quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Brewers did get some good news today and get you ready for the Pirates coming up this week on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes of the program. The Yankees did the Brewers a favor. They won a series against the Cubs. So the Brewers don't lose any ground. They remain 6.5 games clear of Chicago here in the divisional race. In Chicago, they have their series with the Dodgers coming up this week, and they will get Tarek Skubal on Tuesday. So we'll be monitoring that. In fact, I will be in the house for that. I've got my TBS assignment on Tuesday. I'll be there for Dodgers-Cubs on Tuesday night. So if the playoffs started today, and mind you, the Dodgers are playing Sunday night baseball tonight, trying to avoid getting swept themselves by the Boston Red Sox. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the Brewers would be the one seed. The Dodgers would be the two seed. Braves would be the three seed, hosting a best of three series with currently the last team into the postseason field is a tie between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. How crazy is that? They're 1.5 games clear of a spot right now. San Diego could make it two. San Diego is up 5-4, though. They'll be down a game if they win that. Also, Miami is down 1.5 right now. They won earlier today, waiting on the results of the contest today. Pittsburgh, 3.5 back right now. Chicago is 4 games clear of that last spot, so they're in good shape. So again, Chicago would host Arizona. I should also, while we're at it, let's go ahead and check on that tiebreaker. Who has a tiebreaker between Arizona and Philadelphia if they even face each other this year? They faced each other for one series so far, so there's still one more to come. Arizona currently has the edge, 2-1 over Philly. The Brewers tomorrow will get the Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town as the crew will send Brandon Sproat against Bubba Chandler, who's been on and off. He has been a little underwhelming if you ask people who have been watching him in the minor leagues. Bubba's got a 4.56 ERA. He's got only a 20% strikeout rate after having it north of 30 down in the minor leagues previously. Up against Sproat, then on Tuesday it'll be Logan Henderson against Jared Jones. Wednesday is a great one. Kyle Harrison and Paul Skeens. Now Kyle needs to be activated, so there will be a corresponding move there as well. Thursday likely scheduled to be Shane Drouin and Braxton Ashcraft. And if you're looking ahead for the rest of the weekend, if you want to try to get some tickets, Miz will probably either pitch on Friday or Saturday. That has not yet been confirmed by the team. It depends if they want to go to a 6-man rotation when Kyle Harrison returns or if they want to move somebody to the bullpen and then keep rolling with 5 in the middle of this 17 in a row. A reminder, you are going to hear a lot of rumors. You are going to be infiltrated with a bunch of people that don't know ball. Remember to check your sources and remember to not fall for the fake accounts. Just because somebody has a blue check mark on their Twitter does not mean that they know ball. And also, they probably wrote whatever they're writing in these long soliloquies with ChatGPT, okay? Keep your guard up this week. There are going to be people trying to agitate you this week. And I'm reminding you, I've tried to be ahead of the game on this. I'm not trying to say the Brewers are not going to do anything, but I'm telling you, their needs are not available on this deadline. They're going to get a pitcher you've probably never heard of that's hopefully going to be effective for the Brewers. They have 69 wins for a reason. It's because they're a very good team. It doesn't mean they can't get better, and I hope they get better coming up at the trade deadline this week. And I know they had an offer in front of the Tigers for Tarek Skubal. Ultimately, the Tigers went with the Dodgers one. And for all the conspiracy theories, like, oh, the Tigers want a salary cap, the Tigers wanted to go to the Dodgers, the owners are all colluding with each other, it's all meant to rile you up. Don't fall for it. And again, simple rules of engagement. If you see an anonymous Reddit account, Twitter account, whatever, saying things, why do you think that person's anonymous? Because it's probably made up, okay? There are people that have to do this the right way, like yours truly. I was texting people and trying to track down some sources, talking to some scouts about what went wrong for the Brewers and Tigers negotiations, and maybe we'll find out more tomorrow, because maybe they're not done negotiating. Maybe they go get Casey Mize. So we'll see what the next 24 hours have in store. Again, tomorrow the Brewers will be playing at 6:40 back here at home. It's a pretty light slate in baseball for trade deadline day. Tuesday will also be 6:40. Wednesday is a little bit different because it's on national TV. Or no, it is still a 6:40 game, but still on national TV. And then Thursday, day game against the Pirates for getaway day. We'll have post-game shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then we'll have Brewers Weekly on Thursday night. All right, let's all react together. Let's all overreact and plan the parade, right? Or commiserate together. 51 games to go. Trade deadline tomorrow. What are they going to get? We're all going to find out together. Appreciate everybody interacting on the text line and in the live chat here in today's game. Big thanks to my co-host, Jerry Augustine, as well. And to our producer, Evan Witalison. Brewers fall today 3-0. They still win the series against the Angels. Back home tomorrow against the Pirates. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until then, keep on swinging.